No, because they're, it's just a small.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a regular business meeting for Tuesday, April 14th. The time right now is 7:02 p.m. And Ms. Smoot, will you call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Gearing.
Thank you. Councilmember Gearing, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And before we begin this evening, two things. One, Councilmembers Hanford and Cutaback had already stated that they wouldn't be here this evening. Therefore, we will consider them as excused absences unless you have other concerns. The other thing to make an announcement about is that would like everybody to know that Tina, will you stand up for a moment? Tina Lavelle will be acting as city clerk next week as Ms. Smoot will be gone. So everybody say hi, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
She does planning commission right now, correct? Yes, okay. Thank you. All right, the first item that we have on our agenda this evening is a presentation from the Orange County Tourism Bureau. Particularly, this is Amy Spain. Ms. Spain.
Washington State is the only state in the country without a state tourism office. They closed that office in 2011, which I reported to council in 2012 when I was here. The industry has been hard at work to try to devise a mechanism to help create funding source to have a state tourism office. There is presently two bills, the House and Senate version, to create a state tourism office and a state tourism funding mechanism that will not come from the general fund. So we'll see how they grow the rest of the year. This is the David and Goliath situation that we find ourselves in. And the $481,000 was for the Washington State Tourism Alliance, which is a membership-based organization of tourism industry professionals that is just keeping the lights on, literally, keeping the state website up and distributing a bigger guide. And that's pretty much all the marketing that Washington So with this new assessment-based model, we are hoping to generate $7.5 million for an annual budget to market the state as a tourism destination. As you can see from our competitors, it's right at the bottom of the barrel, even with 7.5, at least the assessment model is starting with these five industry sectors, and each of those sectors are determining themselves how that assessment will take place. This is the breakdown of the funds from the accommodations with the lion's share, and each of those percentages is based on the percentage of visitor impact to those industry sectors to generate that $7.5 million. This is a snapshot of travelers to Washington State. They comprised of 2.2 people per travel party. They stayed 2.5 nights and spent $462 per travel party. That's where that $17.6 million figure is generated from. And this is from an annual report from the Dean Ranking Facility. Tourism in Snohomish County is big business. We employ over 10,000 people directly employed by tourism businesses, generating a payroll of $244 million. And more importantly to city coffers is that visitor spending generates almost $18 million that stays right here in Snohomish County. This is, again, 2013 information. So when that new report comes out, I'll be sure and share that with you. But what I'd like to point out from this slide is that many people think that hotels are the largest recipient of visitor dollars. And if you can see from this slide, they're actually fifth on the list. So restaurants, retail, transportation, and recreation all receive a larger portion of that visitor dollar than do hotels. Again, the tourism grew in Washington State and in Snohomish County in 2013, those numbers. I'll be talking tonight to you about the leads that we generated from our advertising, our website success, seeing an increase of 9% over the previous year, the media coverage that we were able to garner from having the familiarization tours and pitching stories to travel writers. We served over 95,000 people collectively at the visitor information centers. And the big success for our department or our organization in 2014 was impact from our group sales efforts, achieving almost $44 million of economic impact. A couple of indicators of the health of the industry are the hotel occupancy levels, which were up in 2014. The average daily rate, that's ADR, was up, and most significantly, the revenue per available room. And that was up over 11% in 2014 over the previous year. Another indicator of the health of the industry is the collection of hotel motel tax. And countywide, that was up over 7%. I did present information about our branding profile or our branding process that we undertook in 2012 and 13 and launched in 2013, so I reported to you on this last year, but I just have a couple of slides about the brand platform. So as you can see from this slide, this is the platform on which all of our marketing efforts are based. So for those wanting to explore and pursue our frame of reference, our geographic location, and our point of difference is where Seattle gets outside, and that's defined in many different ways, and the benefit is where opportunities open up. Our brand platform being Snohomish County, open up, and we utilize the various taglines depending on the market segments that we're addressing. The creative executions have implemented that brand from our website to our print materials and advertising, as you see from these examples. So at first I'm going to talk about our group sales or collective convention sales, sports, and the group tours, which would be the bus tours. Our apps generate leads for our communities, but also help to brand our destination as a visitor destination. We distributed over 2,000 pieces of information at our trade shows and sales missions in 2014, and showing those new packaged travel and these little guides that were created. We conducted 25 familiarization tours. That's where we bring sports events rights holders, travel media, meeting and convention planners into our county so that they can experience and see firsthand the facilities, the hotels, the sports venues, and we work with them to help them identify the best location for their event. We conducted five sales missions to our key feeder cities, and with those we bring members of our community, hotels, city tourism managers, convention centers, and attractions and retail outlets. Join us as we meet with travel writers, with group tour operators, and the meeting plan. We attended 20 trade shows, and I have a list of those in a moment, distributing again over 2,000 guides. We also assist groups, so if one of the local hotels or convention centers, through their own sales efforts, brings an event, or even the city brings their own event into the Parks Department as an example, but those groups need some assistance. They want some welcome bags, so they want visitor guides mailed to their attendees prior to their arrival. We help to coordinate those kinds of services, so we assisted 100 such groups last year. This is the list of trade shows that we attend, and I won't read through that, but the various market segments. The package travel is that catch-all phrase for the bus tour, group tour market. Our sports marketing, which is very active. Just a couple of consumer travel trade shows. Our meetings and events. Trade shows that and associations that we belong to. And then a couple of opportunities to pitch story ideas directly to travel writers and travel editors. So this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the slide that our hotel partners like to see so much. In 2014, we almost doubled the amount of definite room nights that we were able to book in Snohomish County. If you look at the gray chart, or the gray column, those are the totals. So the blue would be the definite, the orange for the tentative, and that was a snapshot as of December 31st. So at December 31st, there were about 5,000 hotel room nights where the event planners had not yet decided whether or not they were coming to Snohomish County. And then the gray is that combined total. So you can see the huge increase over 2013. And more importantly, the economic impact of that group business. And we really owe this success to the Tourism Promotion Area Fund, who helped to support our organization by allowing us to hire another staff person. And you see the result of those efforts. And thanks to this council, as well as others around the county, that helped create the Tourism Promotion Area to provide that funding mechanism. Not only for our Tourism Bureau, we are one of many, many applicants, which is pretty good, although I didn't use it in those funds. Reporting events is a huge portion of the work that we do, generating over $37 million of economic impact in 2014. The sports business is broadly spread across the county. Some of those events need quite a lot of infrastructure, and others not so much. So that's the beauty of the sports market, is that we can really get into all the communities. They don't rely on having a convention center or a huge convention hotel. In Monroe, the sporting events that our staff was directly involved with generated over $2 million of economic impact. Our sports commission is alive and well, and the sports commission board of directors brings expertise to assist our sports department with referrals and with firsthand knowledge about individual sports and those connections that it takes to bring events into our community. You'll see from the list of our board members that we have lots of parks departments, city and county parks departments, city offices, school districts that are involved because they're the facility owners and managers of the space. And so they really need to understand and help us identify the kinds of business that they need and can help us bring that to the county. I'm proud of Tammy Dunn and the work that she has done. She was named sports planner to watch for the second time in 2014, and Snohomish County was voted by Sports Events Magazine readers as a Reader's Choice Award for the fourth time in a row. So moving from our group sales efforts to the leisure travel, we have advertising in a variety of publications. Some of those are listed here for you, and you see the kinds of advertising we use, where we are, continuing to use our overall branding. And we generated over 5,700 requests for information. More and more of our advertising is going online or in addition to the print advertising. And again, you can see the branding utilized throughout the online banner ads. We developed four electronic newsletters in 2014. We have a quarterly e-newsletter. newsletter that goes to visitors with seasonal information and suggestions of things that they can do while they're here. We have a sports quarterly that goes to folks that have requested that information specifically about sporting events that are taking place in our town. We have a sports spotlight, which is an e-blast that goes out to either generate interest in registration for a participatory event like a marathon, or to generate interest in spectators to come watch, like the wakeboarding festival, that we want people to come to watch this. And we also have a visitor, an electronic visitor newsletter for our volunteer program. Our website visitation was up 9% over the previous year. In addition to that, we have a program called Day Shop and Save that is directed to the Canadian market, and that saw an additional 11,000 visits to that website in 2014. In addition to Day Shop and Save, Snohomish.org, which is our primary visitor website, we also have Snohomish County Weddings. And as the name implies, that's very specific to the weddings market, providing referrals on venues, on caterers, on limousines, or tuxedo rentals, all those kinds of things. We developed some new collateral in 2014, copies of which you have in your folder. The Arts Guide was a walkable art program that we worked with the communities around Snohomish County to create. We updated our aviation attractions insert, and then we also did some in-house cases based on the requests that we're getting at the visitor information center. So the golfing in Snohomish County, waterfalls in Snohomish County, top 10 hikes, camping and RV sites, those kinds of things. We do small brochures specific to those requests. We created 85,000 copies of our visitor guide. We have two issues annually, a spring-summer issue, which just came out, so it's literally hot off the presses as of last week, that's in your packet, and our fall-winter guide as well. This allows us to contract with travel writers to write seasonal articles to encourage people how they might enjoy Snohomish County as a visitor. In 2014, we also created a program called Tourism Revealed, and it was a program that was devised to help help businesses have a place or a platform to put special offers, coupons, two-for-one, value-add kinds of things. And it was designed sort of as a scavenger hunt, so people had to register online in order to receive those coupons. So that program was throughout 2014. Our media relations program includes Storyline, which is a bi-monthly electronic newsletter that's sent to about 1,400 travel writers and travel publications around the country and, in fact, around the world, giving story ideas for those writers to cover. It includes news, so if there's a new hotel, a new facility, a new attraction that's built, and if there's nothing really, quote-unquote, newsworthy for that month, then we'll devise a thematic storyline and give them ideas about things to write as a whole. So two of these examples were the distilleries, wineries, and breweries of Snohomish County, and the unique and spirited storyline edition, and then the Under the Summer Skies, we just highlighted special events that were taking place in the summer. We also attend two different trade shows where we have desk-side appointments with travel writers and travel editors to actually pitch story ideas for them. And again, as I mentioned previously, FAM Tours is the familiarization tour, where we invite those travel writers to come and they went on assignment and they experience the community and then write those articles. As a result of those efforts, we had 45 articles published, and that generated over $272,000 of free media coverage. We're very active in the social media sphere. We have 5 Facebook pages so that we can target very specific messaging for our weddings market, for meetings and events, for sports markets, as an example. We are on Twitter, and Pinterest is a growing community as well. We have about 30 different Pinterest boards of very specific interests, and that's all about photography. So people will post or pin their interests on those boards. We have 17 videos on YouTube that are highlighting the activities in Snohomish County, outdoor recreation, spectator sports, aviation attractions, shopping opportunities, 17 different videos that are on YouTube. YouTube is one of the fastest growing and most used search engines now. So we are trying to make sure that we have a heavy presence there. We launched two television apps in 2014. In the spring, an aviation television commercial highlighting all of our aviation attractions and festivals. And then in the summer, a television commercial about outdoor recreation in the county. Again, branding our community as a destination for outdoor recreation. We're very proud of our visitor service program. It's one of the largest volunteer programs in the state. We operate three visitor information centers in East County, in the city of Snohomish, in South County, in the city of Linwood, at the intersections of 405 and I-5 there in Heritage Park. And in 2013, we took over management of the information center at the Future of Flight and Boeing Tour. That was part of a strategic tourism plan initiative for our reach in the county. That strategic tourism plan that was approved by County Council also recommended that we have advertising in the shopping mall, because we have so many Canadian visitors that are coming to the shop, that to encourage them to do things other than shop, to have a presence there. So we had an advertising channel in Alderwood Mall Food Court and did something a little different up at the Outer Premium Outlets. We worked with the local chain Saw Carver and had Snow Co. Yeti made, and that's in a food court at Seattle Premium Outlets. This was entirely a social media program. We had the Snow Cup with Yeti encouraging people to take their pictures with him and post it to their own Facebook pages or to our Facebook page, and then had distribution of the visitor guides to the left there of that alcove, as you see. So kind of a fun way to engage visitors while they're here. Our Visitor Information Center program went digital in 2014 at two locations currently. We have these digital kiosks where at the Linwood Convention Center and now at the Salinas Resort. So those are two areas where we're getting a lot of visitors, and we've got a digital presence there where visitors can learn about other things to see and do, other communities to visit, restaurants to go to, etc. Our Visitor Information Center is mobile. We attended four events in 2014 to help, again, people who are coming to those special events, to give them information and reasons to come back to Snohomish County from time to time. We also support community events. Acting in Snohomish, that's an example on the right there. We were a Halloween stop in downtown Snohomish for trick-or-treaters, and our facility was also used as a registration location for a community run. This is a snapshot of the visitors who come to the brick-and-mortar visitor information center. 66% of them are from more than 50 miles away, and that's the definition of a visitor by industry standards. 34% from the local community, and we define local community as Skagit County, Snohomish County, and King County. Even though on the outer edges of that it's more than 50 miles away, those neighboring counties we just include in our local area. And that's great. We love serving our local residents. The reason that they're coming there for the most part is because they've got friends and family coming to visit them, and we want to make sure that they're staying in Snohomish County rather than taking their family elsewhere. As I mentioned, we have 80 volunteers in our program, and their contribution was nearly $300,000, meaning if we had to pay for the hours that our volunteers work at those three visitor information centers and community events, it would have cost our program almost $300,000. So our volunteer program is very important to us, and we literally could not have our program without them. We had 19 new volunteers join in 2014, which was a huge increase over previous years. Our volunteers are active in the community aside from those events that our Visitor Information Center is supporting. So these are six of the events that our volunteers work to help support other organizations and other events. In order for our volunteers to be well educated and be able to refer visitors throughout the county from a knowledgeable standpoint rather than just handing somebody a brochure, we take them out and about. We conduct a three familiarization tours, and we change those locations every year. We have tours of facilities in our hotels. festivals and events that are taking place throughout the year. This is a picture of the group at the Aquatic Center and a list of some of the training information that was shared with them throughout the year. And we just want to love our volunteers up, so we have three special events for them, thanking them for the contribution that they made to the program and to our community at large. A spring recognition event, a summer picnic, and a holiday party in the wintertime. Our Tourism Bureau also tried to provide information to our industry at large. So we held five such quarterly tourism forums in 2014. Some of them are very specific to a small group of individuals. The IDSN program, as an example, was for our hoteliers. It's a lead generation program that we use. Or something that was more general interest, such as the outdoor adventure travel or effective online campaigns and how to track those results. As an ongoing education tool for attractions and hotels throughout the county, we have two additional programs. Our monthly hot sheet there on the right. Every month we send an email highlighting the special events that are taking place all over the county with links to more information, and that's sent to all hotel front office managers, general managers, and attraction general managers as well, so that they can, it's designed in a way that they can print it off to give to visitors or for them to educate their own department. And on the left, you can just see a small part of it, that is our industry education monthly tours. So we negotiate free entry to our major attractions for any frontline worker. Frontline meaning those people who have that direct contact with visitors, so that they can go experience the Boeing tour or can experience a performance at Edmund Center for the Arts or whatever that might be, so that they can again explain to the visitor that experience rather than just handing brochures over. Our staff is very active in a number of state and local issues. We serve on lodging tax advisory committees, on parks boards, on recreation groups, as well as national organizations, including the National Association of Sports Commission and the National Tour Association Board of Directors. We support our community in other ways, acting as a holiday, as a donation site for holiday blanket drives in the wintertime. We provide materials to the Navy Newcomer Program. Our visitor information center is our drop station for worn U.S. flags that are then donated to Boy Scout troops for appropriate disposal. And we carry Northwest Service, forest passes for sale at our South County location. So again, in recap, tourism is good news. Tourism is growing. Our hotel industry is growing. Even with the advent of four new hotels in 2014, their occupancies have been holding fairly well. Demand continues to grow. We saw the largest increase in our group sales efforts as a result of support for the tourism promotion area. We saw an increase in our website visitation, as well as serving over 95,000 visitors at our brick and mortar visitor information centers, in addition to our website or online support. And I'll close with reminding you that tourism is big business in Santa Monica County, employing over 10,000 people, generating over $244 million in payroll, and visitors leave almost $18 million here in Snohomish County. And with that, I'm happy to take some questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Main. Council, any questions or comments? Councilmember Gehring.
All right, thanks again for being here tonight. Good to see you again, and this just great information. I appreciate all having all the slides and really like the brochures, just looking through them and stuff. So it's attractive and eye-catching as well. So, I'm like, hey, I want to see what's inside just as I'm looking at it. It looks very fun.
Great.
And it does, yeah. So so well done, and I appreciate the information you brought tonight. Thank you.
So the covers make you want to take them and open up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a map freak. Each one of them has them. Oh, there. Hey, there we go. Okay. All right. It took me a little bit to figure out what you're doing. Yeah. Slow. I like the maps, so I'm a map freak.
They're cool.
Let's see what's on there.
Yeah. Ms. Main, thank you very much. We appreciate all the work that your tourism promotion area does. And thank you very much for helping to promote opportunities here in Snohomish County and in Monroe. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. The public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Nobody has signed up to speak. Would anybody like to come forward to speak this evening? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Gehring.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda, i.e. the minutes? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, motion passes 5-0. Next item on the agenda is under unfinished business. This is number 1, AB 15069, ordinance number 007-2015, water and sewer services outside of the city limits for first reading. Brad, Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As you can see from the discussion item on your agenda, Bill, we've been discussing this for a long time. Latest, in 2013, the City Council decided to expand the sanitary sewer service area to include the entire Kirk Grove area, which previously had only been within the city limits. That works fine for the eastern part of the UGA, but in the western part of the UGA, there are some places where the sewer of the UGA is not within the city's water service area, and there is a provision in the Mineral Municipal Code that you have to have a city water service in order to have a city sewer service. So this ordinance is to eliminate that by allowing people to put in a second water meter that the city would control, that we would turn off if they didn't pay their water bill, and also give us the ability to read that meter to determine how much to charge them for the sewer service. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, no, I remember talking about this on several occasions, and see you back, so I'll make a motion to accept this first reading, ordinance number 007-2015, amending Chapter 13.04 MMC Water Regulations, Rates and Charges, and Chapter 13.08 MMC Sewer System Regulations, clarifying requirements for sewer utility customers that are not connected to the city's water utility system, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. The next item is unfinished business item number 2, AB 15070, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update, draft text review. Mr. Feilberg or Mr. Osaki?
Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Osaki. Thank you.
Mayor, council members, I'm actually going to come up here because I don't think you're going to be able to see me. I'm just going to give a brief update and then on where we are right now. Give you a couple perceptions on what I think about the plan so far. We got a little bit of a process still to go through, and then I'll introduce Public Works Director Fowler because he has a few comments also. But as was mentioned last week, the comprehensive plan and the environmental impact statement was issued on April 3rd. There's a 60-day comment period, and I just want to clarify what that 60 days is for. That 60-day comment period has two functions. One, under state law, when you are proposing to adopt a comprehensive plan or comprehensive plan amendment, there's a requirement that state agencies get notified for a 60-day period, and the state agencies can comment during those 60 days. My experience in the City of Fife before I came here when we did our comprehensive plan, there's two agencies that will probably definitely comment. One is the Department of Commerce, because they oversee the Growth Management Act requirements. And two, the Washington State Department of Transportation geared up pretty significantly in terms of reviewing local comprehensive plans. So don't be surprised if you get some comments from the Washington State Department of Transportation. On the other hand, when I read through the plan, the transportation element talked about how it coordinated early with the Washington State Department of Transportation, which is a great thing to do. And so you may not get many substantive comments from WashDOT at all. And certainly any other state agency can comment during that 60-day period as well. The other importance of that 60-day period is that 60-day comment period is for comments on the environmental impact statement that goes with the comprehensive plan. And so if people want to comment on the environmental impacts of the comprehensive plan and have the city respond to it in the final EIS, they need to do it within that 60-day period. And the reason I'm emphasizing that is because the comment period doesn't really close at the 60 days, it's going to be June 2nd. And then sometime in June, the comprehensive plan actually comes before the city council for your public hearing. The public can still comment. But that 60 days is important because state agencies will comment within 60 days. And if the public wants to comment on environmental impacts and have a response to their comments, they need to do it within that 60 days. After that 60 days, people can still come and testify for you and the city council. A couple other items. The terms of schedule, the planning commission holds a public hearing next Monday night. And that'll be the first of two public hearings by the planning commission. There'll be another one in May. When the planning commission completes its recommendations, the comprehensive plan is docketed for public hearings before the city council in June, hopefully moving towards adoption by that June 30th deadline. Another agency that is going to be engaged in this, and I'm pretty sure they will, is the Puget Sound Regional Council. Puget Sound Regional Council is important because they're the metropolitan planning organization for this area, the four-county region, Kitsap, Sonoma, Harrison, King County. Metropolitan planning organizations are created by federal law. They're responsible for doing the region-wide transportation plan. And the Puget Sound Regional Council has staff on board, and they have a requirement to certify and review every local government transportation element. And so the importance of that is if you want to get federal funding, you have to have your transportation element certified by the Puget Sound Regional Council. And there's a process where they're reviewing the draft document now, and they'll give comments now so that prior to adoption, you know what you have to do to get your comprehensive plan in compliance with the regional plan that will make you eligible for federal funding in the future. And so, and I don't know if they'll make the same comments that they did in FIFA, but I expect if they do, they're consistent, they'll get some comments from the Puget Sound Regional Council that will require some updates or changes to your plan. And I think they're going to be significant, but you will get some changes. Just a couple quick other points for now. When I look at your plan, the City of Monroe plan right now, one of the great things about the comprehensive plan is that you've updated your parks plan, your transportation plan, and all your utilities plan at the same time, which means they all have a target date of 2035 as their time horizon for the effective date of those plans. And the reason that's so important is that the City of Fife, we did our parks plan, our transportation plan, and our comprehensive plan had a 2035 time horizon, and our utility plans weren't being updated at the same time, and the state comments were, how do you know you have enough water or have enough sewer capacity to accommodate your growth for 2035 when your utility plan is only going out to 2025? And there's a lot of scrambling and effort to update our plan to deal with that particular issue. You're not going to have that issue at all. You shouldn't have that issue because all your plans are being updated all at once, 2035 time horizon. And then in talking to the consultant and looking at the plan, there was one item that I really think could be improved. And I'm working with a consultant on this, is that the policies are presented as one long list. There's about 170 policies, and if you look at the plan, it's like one long list of policies. It's not easy to read. And I'm not saying the number of policies you have is incorrect, because it's a reasonable number, but just how they're presented doesn't make it very easy for somebody, a new council member, a new planning commissioner, to look at your plan, or any member of the public to look at your plan, and to really get a sense of what these policies mean or to try to find the types of policy you need to find for a particular issue. So one of the items we're talking about with the consultant right now is maybe bolding some words within the policies. Non-motorized transportation, parks, or something like that. So if you read the policies in the long list, you can at least begin to get a better sense of what those policies really deal with. But outside of that, there's some technical items that I think could be improved. I've given those comments to the consultant. From a policy standpoint, from a general planning standpoint, it's pretty solid right now. So again, the planning commission is holding a hearing next Monday night. I think we'll report out at your next council meeting next Tuesday what transpired there. And then maybe sometime in late April or sometime in May, spend a little more time at a staff level at one of these meetings to kind of walk through the plan a little more.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Yeah, I look forward to that, and I appreciate the update. As far as the list, I spent a lot of time in the last 2 months. I know that's really loud all of a sudden, isn't it? Yeah. We didn't want the big list. And so my understanding is that each of those, all the policies were going to be organized under their individual goals. So there may still be an appendix somewhere that has all those listed. That was certainly not I know Planning Commission had wanted them to be associated under their individual goals, so it is easy to read. And now, if we do need one big appendix of them somewhere, that's fine, but that shouldn't be the go-to place to see the policies. The policies should be under each, the goal that they apply to, so that it's easy to read. And that's what we've been talking about. That's the intention of what we wanted to do. So if it's still like that, perhaps it's maybe still being updated, but in its final draft, the only way you see the policies should not be in one big list. They should be organized by goal. So, but we've talked about that over the last couple months. So I'm certainly hoping that that wouldn't be what we see in the final in the final document.
We understood it to we understood that that it was going to be sort of a matrix that would act in essence like an index, so that if a policy were related to a couple different elements, that you would see in columns, column A, column B, but not column C or D, but E. Relate to this one policy, and the whether it's in the front or the back, we understood that it was to be a tool to locate information within the larger document, as if it were an index. So.
I'm hoping to see them under each individual goal as well in the different sections. But thank you. I get it. Otherwise, I appreciate the update. Thank you.
Council members, have any other questions, comments? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Baldberg, you're up for your item.
As we discussed or mentioned last week, we were going to talk about the proposed utility rate increases as came out of the utility system plan. So the good news is that the sanitary sewer system does not need any rate increases over the next few years. The kind of good slash bad news is that the stormwater system needs a I lost it, 4% rate increase for each of the years. And the other news is that the water system plan needs a 7.5% increase each year for the next 8 years. That is to cover the list of improvements that we've come up with in the utility system plans, and it's all based on replacement of existing infrastructure and efficiencies of operations. It's not growth related, so that's taken care of by the other fees for the growth related stuff. But this is active, and we talked to you about this before, about the 98,000 feet of AC water main that had a 50-year shelf life and was put in 70 years ago. That needs to be replaced. So that's where we're headed right now. If you look in the utility system plan, which is available online, you can see more detail, or if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those now.
Council members, any questions? I don't see any questions right now.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Bratton. All right, the next item that we have on our agenda is under final action. And this is final action number one, AB 15071, ordinance number 005-2015, amending MMC 1308-270, sewer connection charges, and ordinance number 006-2015, amending MMC 1304-025, water system capital improvement charge. This is for final reading. Mr. Feilberg.
As you had first reading of this last week. This is the amendment to the Norm Code to clarify when the capital improvement charges are due, and specifically exempting accessory dwelling units constructed or developed in accordance with Title 18 of the Norm Municipal Code from paying those fees. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt ordinance number 005-2015, amending section 13.08.270 of the Monroe Municipal Code sewer connection charges, in order to clarify when treatment facility reserve capacity charges shall be assessed, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Okay, we have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Gehring?
That's a second and final reading, right? I don't think it said that in the requested action. I just wanted to make sure that need to say that, right?
The motion is to adopt, so it assumes it is the second reading.
Very good. I'm just used to seeing the other language in there. Very good. Never mind then.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Councilmember Gamble.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt ordinance number 006-2015, amending section 13.04.025 of the Monroe Municipal Code, water system capital improvement charge, in order to clarify when capital improvement charges shall be assessed, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is Councilmember reports. Why don't we start off with the P4 committee report, and then we'll go to individual council members. So who's the chair? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. P4 committee, transportation planning, public works, parks and recreation, and public safety. Went over the 2015 work plan again, and last meeting, last month, we added quite a bit to it. Didn't make any adjustments this time, although it was noted that there was a Centennial Trail Park extension meeting tomorrow, and I think we're going to have staff representation at that. Correct, Mike?
Mr. Farrell, are you going to be at Willis Tucker at, is it noon tomorrow?
No, I will not be, but there will be staff, Melissa Place, planning department will be representing some staff.
Okay, and it is noon to 1? Was that my recollection?
And it's 11.
11 to
noon?
11
to noon.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. Okay, so 11 to noon. Thank you.
We look forward to hearing from that. Big portion of our discussion was in regards to the fairgrounds and follow up from their presentation from last week. And everyone's seen their, or I'm assuming everyone's probably seen the email from Mayor and Hal in regards to the bike path parallel to Highway 2 as well as the sound barrier walls. And the committee felt that it was definitely wise to have that into a letter from the city, but more importantly, have it in a letter and requesting or encouraging a shorter time frame than the 3 to 5 years that they indicated at their presentation last year or last week. And so we'll have a Gene offered to draft a letter and send out to the committee, which we'll have for council next week to review and hopefully approve and send out. Committee also felt the need to mention the gateway concept as well as collaborating for hotel development or future hotel developments as well. So those were kind of the four things, the big items, of course, being the bike path and the sound walls. Other than that, next committee meeting is May 12th. So,
are there any questions for the P4 committee? Okay, I see none. Okay, thank you very much for the report. We'll go to individual reports now. Councilmember Gehring.
Nothing tonight, thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, so we're into the baseball season, as we all know. It was great to see last week, Wednesday the 8th, Five Guys, one of our newer businesses, restaurants in town, stepped up and did a sponsor. 15% of their proceeds from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. went to the Sky Valley Little League. If you guys were driving around last Wednesday and saw the massive quantities of cars and uniforms at Five Guys, it was a great event. Well, lots of participation across the board, and just a good time. It was great to see the support from the community and the business community. So that was on this last Wednesday. This Saturday is the opening ceremony. We have our opening ceremonies for Sky Valley Little League. It's one of our biggest fundraisers and a jamboree. So we'll be out using our parks. I know everybody is just really excited about the, I know we've talked about it several times, but the new lids, they like to call them on the dugouts. They think those are just great, especially with the rain that we do have. So that is fantastic. The games will be played. It'll be a lot of little games from T-ball all the way up, softball, hardball all the way through from about, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m., so it's a long day. Opening ceremonies are 11 o'clock at Rotary Field. That'll happen regardless if we have rain. It's supposed to be really, really nice this weekend, so it's going to be a good weekend. There's lots of prizes to be won. Open ceremony is great. All the kids line up on Rotary Field around in their uniforms. We usually have some of the youth that sing the you know, the national anthem and recite the you know, the pledge, the Little League pledge, and it's just a great day and a great way to show off our parks too. It's just a great day, so looking forward to that. So that's on Saturday, and that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
I don't have anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I want to thank the mayor for the invitation last Saturday. The trip through downtown was very enlightening, and I did get an earful about parking issues in downtown. And thanks to the mayor, the email that you CC'd me on concerning some of the options and ideas we have for mitigating some of the parking issues downtown look promising. And I believe one of the articles in the Monroe Monitor about, I can't remember the gentleman's name, at the new, Chris, help me, was what?
From the Junction?
Yeah.
Yeah, his name's Con.
Okay. Oh, no, actually, the gentleman, the former, the old car repair place.
Don?
LaFleur.
Right, LaFleur. Yes.
Anyway, his proposal of having the parking changed so that it could be shared with the city was, it was just nice that he'd be willing to step up and help us with the parking issue. One more item that I thought was really promising is Fremont, and this kind of goes to what Councilmember Rasmussen had proposed in terms of the one-way loop, is diagonal parking on Fremont with the possibility of one-way, and I know we had mentioned it a little bit, the possibility of making a right turn only onto 203. We heard that there are some safety issues with people trying to turn left onto 203, so I thought that would alleviate it. But it was interesting. It was good to hear from everyone, and it was a good experience to pick up the good and the bad and some of the strong opinions that we did hear that day. So thank you, Mayor, for inviting me on that. And that's about it. I'm looking forward to the Thursday night
open
house that we're having. I think it'll be great.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out with us, too. I appreciate it. Councilmember Rasmussen.
It's been busy. Actually, spring flag football starts this weekend, so Councilmember Gamble's going to be all up in his baseball, and that's awesome. We'll be doing football and just equally excited, so and more to come next week.
Nice. Thank you. Let's go out to staff.
Nothing.
Mr. Carroll?
So as Councilmember Gamble reported about the jamboree and the flag football, we're hoping the fields dry out. We got quite a bit of rain. Last weekend, we held a Northwest Collegiate disc football tournament. Lots of people out in Sparrow Park, so they were turning up the fields there. This week, today, and tomorrow, I'm interviewing candidates for park maintenance worker positions, so we're busy with that. And that is why I will not be able to attend that meeting, that trails meeting, and it is at 11 a.m., 11 to 12
Thank
tomorrow,
you,
most of the park. And then, we already talked about the jamboree this weekend. So.
Thank you. Mr. Osaki.
Well, in putting together some information for the mayor for a presentation to you to the chamber today, we put together some metrics, and I just want to kind of point out one of them is that last year, for the entire year of 2014, the city issued 19 permits for single-family dwellings, and year-to-date right now, going about a third or a fourth into the year, we've already issued 23 permits for single-family dwellings, so we've already exceeded the total amount from last year. And the reason that, to some extent, that's important is I haven't determined the processes here for the building division, but where I was before, every new single-family dwelling brings with it about 15 to 20 inspections. That doesn't necessarily mean you go out there 15 to 20 times, but there are about 15 to 20 things you're looking for to have a house from the time the ground is broken to the time the final occupancy and final inspection. So in terms of workload, if you get single family dwellings, it's going to be a busy year for building division staff.
Thank you. Chief Quinzer?
No, we'll see.
Okay. I would acknowledge the person to your right, but he's on vacation. But if he's not on vacation, does he have anything to add?
Just as Council Member Camp mentioned the open house for downtown, both the Monroe Plaza projects and the Monroe Gateway is Thursday at 5 to 7 in this room. There's a sign out front in case you missed. Forget it. So.
Thank you for coming in. Okay, before we move up here, does anybody have any questions for our directors?
Are we supposed to talk about something else?
Oh. What else are you supposed to talk about? Oh,
downtown.
Yes.
Yes.
Construction pedestrian accessibility plan.
Yes. It's a big plan now.
sounds important.
Yes. So we're working with the contractor to ensure that there is the maximum amount of pedestrian accessibility to people's businesses. We're talking to them about, you know, which ones can have access to the back, you know, which ones don't. How the there will be times when they won't have access at all, such as when someone's, you know, jackhammering out in front of their business, or they're actually pouring the concrete itself. But hopefully, all the rest of the times there will be access available on passable sidewalks, or not sidewalks, but paths. We had some good luck with this when we had did the Fremont project, and people could still get to beauty and pay their electrical bills. There's also someone on the staff of the contractor who will be making sure that there is accessibility to the businesses, the paths are walkable, things like that. And then we'll also be having signage made that for businesses open to make sure that people realize that, along with the signage for the so far two available parking lots that will have at least after hours at the bank and the post office for the people in the evening to enjoy the place in downtown. Do you have any questions? Are you happy to answer that? We might have some more information on Thursday also.
Great. Thank you.
And staff has been working with one of our contractors to help develop a draft brochure. So I'm going to pass this down. This is not final, but if you could pass this back to me when you're done. Gives you an idea of how we're trying to make certain that we're communicating with people about the project. So again, any questions for Mr. Feilberg? Okay, great. We'll come on up here then. For me, I had a good time with Councilmember Camp and also with Chris from the Monitor. We walked through the downtown on Saturday. We distributed information regarding the Main Street Plaza project. We also distributed information about the Gateway conceptual design, and there being an open house from 5 until 7 this Thursday here in this room. We also distributed to the downtown businesses in that footprint of the two projects the Monroe app. And I would encourage you to download that app. It is now available for iPhones. And I have been walking around with window clings and my updated business card, and we'll get these done for you all as well, with the regular stuff on one side, and then on the back is the Monroe app. So
cool.
What we'll be doing over the next several weeks, is we'll be putting that on letterhead. We'll get together an icon that you can put on your email so that when it goes out, it's a way for people to go ahead and download that app. I then spent a good deal of Saturday working on a PowerPoint presentation, also on Friday, for the chamber meeting, the chamber luncheon today. I did a State of Monroe report, if you will, at lunch today. Staff put together a lot of really good slides for me and went ahead and presented on how well things are going right now. And one of the things that we lose track of when we read the paper is that we have a lot of things we do here. It's not just one particular issue that's before the council, but it's everything related to budget, to policy, and also operations. And so I was able to go through still on a summary level, but with a little bit of detail, everything from building permits to the status of our budget today to the decision that you all will be looking at over the next couple weeks about doing a budget amendment for 2015 and so on. There were probably about 60 or so people there, and most of the directors were able to make it. So this coming Thursday, in addition to my regular day here, I will be interviewing three candidates for the five positions for the Salary Commission. We still have two vacancies. We still need two more applicants, and again, I still need to interview everybody also, but we have three candidates for five positions right now. So if you're aware of anybody that would like to serve in the community, I would encourage you to encourage them to submit applications for the Salary Commission. And, oh, there is a Grow With Me boutique is putting together, has a cloth diaper changing Guinness Book World Record event this Saturday that I'll be participating in, and I'm looking at Chris because I would hope that you know about it already. If not, okay. So anyway, I'm not changing any diapers, but they need a local elected official to attend each of the locations.
I think Councilmember Davis just said that he already has that record.
Nice.
I believe it.
So I would encourage everybody to watch for that in the paper. Maybe if you feel like coming down, come on down to Grow With Me Boutique and see that this Saturday. So I'll be doing that this Saturday. And I think that's all I have for right now from me. Gene, why don't you go ahead with your update, and then we will have an executive session. So just FYI, go ahead.
And my update's going to be talked about in the executive session. So I'm ready for the draft agenda if you get it.
Yep, there we go.
Agenda for April 21st, 2015. Under announcements and presentations, Neil Watkins will be here to give an update on the food drive. After public hearing, we'll be talking about marijuana-related uses again. Under the consent agenda, under unfinished business, we have social media policy and the 2015 comprehensive plan update. Under new business, we have state legislative lobbying services. We'll be pulling information from other cities, how they go about hiring consultants, coming up with some draft questions, that type of thing. So that's what we'll be looking at. Final action, we have water sewer services outside city limits. That's final reading. And amending fiscal policies related to the city's financial reserve requirements. Diane's been speaking with legal on that topic. And then we have the Legislative Affairs Committee report. At this time, we do not have any topics for that, and I'm not sure we have a quorum. So that's a question to the committee.
Is the committee members, do you have anything that you would like on for the Legislative Affairs Committee next week? And do we have a quorum? Because I don't know that we have a quorum. Councilmember Hanford is out. Who else is out?
Who's on there?
The two of you are the other two. Wouldn't the lobbying services be discussed?
Well, that's what I was wondering.
I thought that you guys would be discussing that. But
can we get the presentation for the lobbying services?
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, if that's council's.
Well, I'll leave it up to the chair.
No, that would be.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. So what we'll do is that'll be then in committee. Mm-hmm. And now, would you prefer to have the discussion then the following week, so that if you have any questions in committee, that council that staff can then respond to those questions and have that in the meeting on April 28th instead.
Work list, things that we wanted to work on this year. I haven't been able to attend because of my class. We did. Okay. Talk about this.
Okay, so we'll do one thing first. The draft agenda for next week is we will remove we'll remove the new business item number one from the agenda from April 21st, and we will put that on the draft agenda then for April 28th or May 5th. And then, did you have other material that you would like prepared from staff then for Tuesday?
I don't know.
Okay. Great. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right. What else do you have, Gene, before we
take a sec?
Okay. Yeah. All right. We have a need now for executive session. This will be for pricing of property. There will be action to follow, if nothing else, for adjournment. So I will say that there will be action to follow. This is executive session, again, pricing of property, pursuant to RCW 42.30.110. Subsection 1, subsection C, for approximately 10 minutes. And I I think that's it. Thank you very much. Okay, we are back out of executive session, and we have no other need for action this evening except for adjournment. Councilmember Davis.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Davis, a second from Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. We are adjourned.